Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. And as you make your way there, I want to share with you about a chronic condition I have suffered with for almost the entirety of my life. My condition and the symptoms of my condition may not be something that you as a church attender may be aware of, but I can assure you that for those who live in the same house as me and for those who have to work with me 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, all of those people know in a painful way the condition from which I suffer, and it is this: middle child syndrome. Now, if you want to understand your pastor better, well, then you need to learn and understand what middle child syndrome is. You need to understand its cause, and you need to understand its cure. For those who fall into the category of a traditional middle child, where there are three or more siblings born in close proximity to each other, and where those siblings share the same sex and gender, middle child syndrome is a fairly common occurrence. For myself, I had one brother, as I just mentioned, who was just 11 months older than me. And then I had another brother just a few years later than that arrived that was just under 3 years younger than me. And because of that familial layout, I am the prototypical middle child, suffering from this dreaded syndrome ever since I was 3 years old when my younger brother arrived. There was never a period of time where I got the kind of praise that the first child gets when they're the first to do everything, the first to walk, the first to be potty trained, the first to talk, the first to ride a bike, the first to do everything. Reruns, as you know, are never as entertaining as the first time you watch something. And so because I was the second child, I was kind of like a rerun. And because I was the rerun, I didn't get quite the same amount of praise for doing all of the same things my brother did. For the baby of the family, they are the last ones to do the things. And so for parents, there's a level of sentimentality to everything the baby of the family does. Parents dote on everything the baby of the family does because this is their last time to be able to savor those special baby and early childhood moments. For reasons like that and countless others, many middle children develop a deep sense that they are unseen and unappreciated for the amazing children they are. Now, many of you are probably familiar with the Brady Bunch story, the Brady Bunch television show, and so you may recall the quote by a famous middle child of the three girls, Jan. And Jan's quote is this: "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia." Jan was sick of hearing about how amazing her older sister was. Jan felt like her siblings sucked up all the attention in the room and that she was always in the shadow of someone else. Jan felt like she needed to work twice as hard for less than half of the attention. And that is what it feels like to be a middle child every single day. Ever since moving up here to Crestwood almost 8 years ago, I have taken on a more active role in the process of putting up the Christmas tree and putting on the Christmas decorations, the Christmas ornaments. In the process, I have developed a yearly tradition of my own, a tradition which expresses my own solidarity with the plight of middle children all around the world, a tradition which utilizes one of those ornaments I got from my mom. Many years ago, my mom got me and my brothers an ornament. My older brother got the oldest child ornament. I got the middle child ornament, and my younger brother got the youngest child elf ornament. And here's what I do when I get out my middle child elf ornament. I take it out of the box. I look at it for just a little bit, and then I proceed to go to the back side of the Christmas tree where I look for a collection of branches where I can hang that ornament up underneath and in between the branches where it will never be seen by anyone for the entirety of the Christmas season, a place where it will be unseen and forgotten like middle children are. Unfortunately, there's no permanent cure for this syndrome. The only things that have been found to bring temporary relief to middle children are daily amounts of praise, adoration, and as much attention as possible. Here's one of my favorite middle children memes. This is something that comes up usually on the day of this national day. Today is middle child's day. It will probably be forgotten, just like I was. Now, do any of you know when National Middle Child Day is? Of course you don't. Well, you know, Lori had some insider knowledge. She heard the message last night when I was practicing and going through stuff. Of course you don't know when National Middle Child Day is. It's forgotten, just like middle children. It's actually August 12th, which is actually a horrible date for me to have National Middle Child Day, because those of you who have been around the church around here since I've arrived, August is Lori Palooza month. It's August. Her birthday is in August. They celebrate her birthday all month. And where is National Middle Child Day? right there in the middle of the month, where it will no doubt be forgotten again. And with that, let's go ahead and read from Romans chapter 8. Trust me, it does have to do with the message. We'll get to it. Romans chapter 8. Go ahead and stand with me as I read. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 18 through 27. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, last week I missed out on a very special Sunday in the course of the life of the church. Some of you may have recognized with the scripture readings that were earlier in the service, but last week was Pentecost Sunday, which is a Sunday where we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit. A very special moment where the Holy Spirit descended on the followers of Jesus Christ and dwelled in the followers of Jesus Christ in a very brand new and special way. A very special moment, which many people consider to be the birthday of the church. In fact, maybe I should have put that in the list of things for last week, that you guys need to sing happy birthday to the church. A very special moment, which we consider to be the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples. And apart from the arrival of the Holy Spirit and apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, there really would not be a church to speak of. If there were no Holy Spirit living and active among followers of Jesus Christ, we would just be a group of people getting together to do a collection of humanly possible things in very human ways. Apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit, there really wouldn't be anything special or distinct about any church gathering over the past 2,000 years. Without the Holy Spirit, the church just wouldn't be the church that she was created to be. Now, this particular Sunday on the church calendar is called Trinity Sunday, and it's a day where many pastors do the best that they can to try and explain something like the Trinity, which is ultimately mysterious and difficult, if not impossible, for us to wrap our minds around about how a triune God, how that works together. It's a day where the commonalities and the distinctions between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as a part of a triune God are put together in a message for people to ponder and think about. What I want to do this week and over the next few weeks is to focus on the Holy Spirit portion of the Trinity. I want to focus on the Holy Spirit because we can't just hurry past Pentecost and go on from there as if there's more important things to talk about in this particular season. We can't continue on like everything continues on as normal, because when the Holy Spirit descended on those followers of Jesus Christ, life did not continue on as normal. I want to focus on the Holy Spirit because it is no small thing when the Holy Spirit of God gets forgotten as if it were the middle child in the Trinity. Years ago, I read a book by Francis Chan called The Forgotten God, Reversing Our Neglect of the Holy Spirit. It looks like this. This is a book I got many years ago. I've read through it a few different times over the years because it really is important. It's one of those few books that I've read where I read through it in a very relatively short period of time. There are lots of books where I'll read a little bit and then I'll read a little bit more, and it may take a year for me to work my way through a book because of my attention in when it comes to reading books. But some books really capture my attention and I can't put it down, and so I just go through and I read the whole thing over the course of maybe just a couple of days. And so what made this book so captivating to me was that it spoke to a hunger in my heart that I couldn't quite put my finger on in that season of life. Spiritually, I felt like I was missing something, but I wasn't sure what it was. What I was missing was the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my day-to-day life. There was a gap between my knowledge of the Holy Spirit and my experience of the Holy Spirit. What went wrong over the course of many years was an association of the work of the Holy Spirit with some of the major spiritual moments in my life to the neglect of the day after day after day moments of my life. When I thought about the work of the Holy Spirit, the things that I would think about first and foremost were things like the moment of salvation when I became a Christian, or the moment when I recognized the need of God to do a sanctifying work in my life, or the moment when I felt a call to ministry. And while those big moments were and are extremely significant, those big moments are insufficient and incapable of compensating for a daily dependence on the Holy Spirit. In order for our lives to be spiritually healthy, we need a robust understanding of the Holy Spirit, and we need to live in a way where we daily recognize our need for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and do a work in us and live through us. And so for the next few weeks, I'm going to spend our time talking about a collection of things that the Holy Spirit can do in our lives and that the Holy Spirit desires to do in our lives. My hope is that if we spend more time looking at the Holy Spirit, that we'll maybe be a little bit more open, more attentive to what we need the Holy Spirit to be doing in our lives. It's one thing for a person to realize what the Holy Spirit can do in their lives, and it's another thing entirely for a person to utilize what the Holy Spirit can do. And unfortunately, there are far too many Christians who are underutilizing or not utilizing at all what is readily available to them through the Holy Spirit. And talking about the many things the Holy Spirit does, my hope is that we will better utilize the gift of the Holy Spirit. In getting started, a major thing that we need to understand and utilize about the Holy Spirit is the reality that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Another way of saying that is that the Holy Spirit stands in the gap on our behalf in the midst of difficult circumstances. And there are multiple ways in which the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. One of the ways was described at the end of our scripture reading, an intercession of the Holy Spirit that happens when we just don't know how we ought to pray. There are some painful situations in life, especially when those painful situations involve those we love. Situations that are so personal and sometimes so complex that we don't know what we need to be praying for in those circumstances and for those people. And in those moments, when words may escape us, we need to know that the Holy Spirit can and will actively help us and speak for us. The Holy Spirit searches and knows the desires of our hearts even better than we may know and understand them ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit is an ideal intercessory advocate for our prayers. Another way involves the activities of the Holy Spirit in the difficult situations themselves. In the Church of the Nazarene, we believe in a thing called prevenient grace, which is the grace that comes before. We talk about prevenient grace in situations like when a person comes to a place in their life where they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, a moment of salvation. When that moment of salvation arrives for a person, we don't believe that it just arrived all of a sudden out of the blue. We believe that God was already at work through people and circumstances for weeks, months, or maybe even years leading up to that moment. God's grace paved a way for that salvation moment far in advance. In the same way, we believe the Holy Spirit actively intercedes on our behalf by going ahead of us and doing work that only the Holy Spirit can do in advance of our arriving to a situation or a conversation on our doorstep. We believe the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak to anyone with a receptive heart, and we believe the Holy Spirit can preside over situations outside of our own control. For that reason, we need to actively pray for the Holy Spirit's involvement and help for all sorts of situations and scenarios that you may have in your day-to-day life. When you head into an important situation or a difficult conversation, having already prayed for the Holy Spirit's presence and having already prayed for the Holy Spirit's help, it makes all the difference in the world. There's a recent situation that I have at work, at the other work, that is the kind of situation that can easily induce anxiety, fear, and even a little bit of anger. In the midst of trying to process that situation and figure out what should be said and done and how and all of those things, there's been something which has regularly interrupted my busy mind about that situation. And it's been what I can only describe as the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. a gentle voice, which has been encouraging me in the midst of my busy mind, trying to process and put together what needs to be done as far as I see it. In the midst of that, there's the Holy Spirit encouraging me to trust God with this matter. In our humanness, it's easy for us to behave as if the outcomes depend solely on us. In our humanness, it's easy for us to feel like we need to jump into action and feel like we need to do this and say this in order for the outcome to be what we want it to be. In our humanness, we can be forgetful of the fact that outcomes don't depend solely on us, and we can be neglectful of the helpful role the Holy Spirit can play in those outcomes. The reality is that we all need the Holy Spirit interceding without us interfering. When we feel like it's up to us to fix a situation or feel the strong urge to try and force things to happen in a certain way that we want things to go, what happens is we take over that space where the Holy Spirit needs to work. I'm sure there are times in my life where the Holy Spirit wanted to intercede on my behalf, but instead I wanted to go and do the work on my own behalf. And so situations probably didn't turn out near as well as they could have. Perhaps you've had situations where you've jumped ahead of the Holy Spirit and interrupted the Holy Spirit's ability to intercede on your behalf. What that communicates is a lack of trust. And what that communicates is that we trust the ability of ourselves more than the ability of the Holy Spirit. And that is foolish. When the Holy Spirit is actually allowed to intercede for us in our prayers and in our circumstances, and when we trust that the Holy Spirit is indeed interceding for us, there are two amazing side effects to the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit does. The intercession of the Holy Spirit calms and comforts us. The description of the world in our passage from Romans chapter 8 was not a pretty picture. The context provided by the Apostle Paul for his listening audience was one of present suffering. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. While there was a future glory for Paul and his listening audience to look forward to, there was still the present sufferings that they needed to navigate their way through. They were in a world that was groaning in the pain of childbirth, and so are we. They were in a world waiting to be liberated from its bondage to decay, and so are we. They were in a world waiting for the glorious hope of being brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God, and so are we. We live in a world where people live in a constant state of anxiety, and we live in a world where people move from grieving one thing to grieving the next because of the broken and fallen state of this world. We live in a world where we desperately need the Holy Spirit to be living and active in our lives so that we don't cave under the weight of anxiety and grief. We live in a world where we desperately need the Holy Spirit to be living and active in our lives so that we can hold on to our glorious hope. A glorious hope that one day all will be made new. A glorious hope that one day every part of his creation, from the land to the animals to the people, will be completely redeemed and brought back to its perfection by the God who created it and called it good. These may be anxious times, and these may be times where you may be feeling grief and pain, but the gift of the Holy Spirit, who intercedes on our behalf, is a calmness and a comfort that can be summed up in a single word: peace. The gift of the interceding Holy Spirit is the gift of peace as you and I live in this world. A peace that can go with you and a peace that can go ahead of you as you go into your homes, as you go into your workplace, as you go into your doctor's office or a hospital. Wherever you find yourself going, in whatever situation you find yourself entering into, you never have to go alone and you never have to do it on your own. Earlier, Larry read for us from John chapter 16 about the work of the Holy Spirit. That chapter concludes with these words by Jesus: "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." May the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us, calm our anxious nerves, comfort our grief, and give us all the gift of peace by reminding us of the hope that we have in Christ. Amen. This morning we're going to be closing with the song, "Come Holy Spirit." Come Holy Spirit, we need thee. In some form or fashion, we all need the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know every circumstance going on in your life, but I do know we all need the Holy Spirit's help in some area or another. I don't know what it looks like in your circumstances, but the presence or absence of the Holy Spirit in those circumstances is going to make a huge difference. And how things turn out for you will depend heavily on whether or not you actively invite the Holy Spirit's involvement in your life and in your circumstances. And so my prayer today is that the words of this song would be a sincere invitation of our hearts this morning for the Holy Spirit to come and be involved in our lives. So I invite you to go ahead and stand as we sing.